Well, hello everyone. This is your host, Esperanza Ray, and I want to welcome you tonight. We're having a very special show. However, before we get started, I'd like to introduce my friend, Charlie Campbell, who's helping me to host the show tonight. Charlie, you want to say hi to our listeners?
Good evening, everyone, and happy New Year to everyone as well.
Yes. It's the second show of the new year, I believe, or yes, it is the second one. So it's
first
a great
one for me, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You were not with us the last time. That's right. And I wanted to also mention that I had introduced last week that we're going to have an interview with a young lady who's 17 at this point. Her name is Akiana, who's extremely gifted. She is considered a genius in two areas, which is poetry and video. And we have confirmed her interview for February 4th, which is in 2 weeks. So it will be our next show. I'm very excited because, as you know, Akiana, spelled A-K-A-I-N-E, she has a website. So if you'd like to go and check her paintings, it's just magnificent. She has a gift. Her paintings are like pictures. They're so incredible. They're real. She's a realist. However, some of them are amazingly just almost surreal as to the beauty of it. I especially like the one about that has the image of Christ. Are you familiar with Akiana, Charlie, at all?
Not yet. I will be one of the people that tomorrow looks at her website, more than likely.
Yeah. And, well, the other thing I loved about one of her paintings, I mean, she has beautiful paintings. She has incredible images of Mary with the blues are just so rich and so gorgeous. And it's almost like you can see the silk of the clothing that she paints. It's just magnificent. And she uses turquoises and a lot of blues, and blue being one of my favorite colors. So I love that. So we will be talking to her. One of the other paintings is an autoportrait of her. And the wonderful thing about this, Charlie, is that she paints the stars in the sky. And of course, so the background is all dark. And somehow she uses the background to incorporate her self-portrait into the universe, and she's showing herself painting. So the star mantle becomes part of her clothing mantle, and then her face is projected on to the painting, and you see her hand with a brush in it, and she's like just painting a star, which represents the co-creation of us as divine beings, co-creators with God in our world, because we really, you know, you being a spiritual person, I know you are, you know, very well read and very knowledgeable on the topic. That's one of the reasons I have you helping me host the show. there's more.
The other experts come out and you know, give you a hand there.
That's right. So
they're out there. We just haven't heard from them yet.
Yes, that's right. And so she, you know, it. I love the image because it's just so creative and so genius. It really is a genius. It shows the co-creation of humanity as divine beings made in the image of God. And she perfectly, beautifully portrays that in her paintings. So there is no question, when you look at her paintings, that she does not only have a gift, but that her gift is in a gift from God, because she is actually taken, as she uses the word taken, which I resonate very well with, because that's what's happened to me when I got the main images used to write my book. And maybe someday I can transform those images into actual paintings. One of the images definitely is the portrait of the book, which I used at the cover and also within the book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. But without wanting to be sidetracked by the book, she portrays exactly the divinity that each being has in our ability to create our world. And talking about creating our world, today we wanted to focus a little bit on, obviously, the fact that it's the inauguration of the president, President Obama, into his second term. And I got to watch a little bit by chance. I didn't really plan it. That's how things happened to me. Charlie, what about you? Were you able to see any of it at all?
Well, I didn't see any of it because I happened to be out, at a luncheon, with my wife's cousins who had come from Florida and other parts of her family. So,
yeah. Well, that's important too, right?
And today, one of my nieces gave birth at 11:50 something as another little girl. So that was an interesting thing that might have taken place around the time of the inauguration.
Right. And so you were enjoying your day off, and at the same time, your family was receiving, not your family directly, but you were receiving a gift of another family member.
And, when you're talking about stars and everything, the baby's name is Stella Grace.
Stella Grace?
Well, that's her first and middle name, yes.
How beautiful. That is a beautiful name. Yeah, Stella. Star. Yeah, that's very beautiful. And going back to the stars and the co-creation of this young woman in her paintings, it helps to tie in with the topic of today's show. Because, we all know that people come to the United States with the dream, the American dream, which is basically the capacity to create your dreams, to be able to have the freedom and the capability to work to accomplish what you desire in life. That's why everybody comes, I think, to the United States. Charlie, you're American, obviously. You were born and raised in the United States. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm about the third generation.
Generation. Where is your ancestors originally from?
They're from Ireland, Scotland, and Germany, to the best of my knowledge.
Wow. That's wonderful. So you have several countries in Europe and mixed in there, which is pretty common, especially when you have several generations, because in the United States, there's such a mixture and such richness, such richness of culture, and it makes for a new culture that becomes even more rich and more magnificent and more complex. I'm originally from Spain, and my grandparents and my parents moved to the U.S., but they returned. So I was actually born in Spain, and now I'm obviously a naturalized citizen. And I'm not sure sometimes people that are born here appreciate, because they don't necessarily get to experience another culture, so they see the difference between their original culture as opposed to the culture from the United States, and the capability that you do have to create your future, to plan out and work hard enough to accomplish your dreams. I feel I have accomplished that. How about you, Charlie?
Well, I think that, the accomplishing their dream in America, is an ongoing thing, and it's constantly evolving. What I thought was my dream when I was, 20, 30, 40, and 50 has changed. That America gives you the ability to let your dream, progress, and the beauties of living in America.
Yes, that's right. You can always change your mind. That's true. That's one of the other differences that I know from my home country in Spain. Usually most people in those countries, at least in Spain, that I'm, you know, because I'm not perfectly knowledgeable about what happens in all of Europe, but definitely in Spain, you have a career, and that is going to be your job for the rest of your life in most cases. In the great majority of the case, I would say 70% or 75%. However, here in the U.S., you know, I remember when I was going to school and I read about, you know, getting my degree and all that. And one of the things it said that most people will change career paths 2 to 3 times throughout their life. And that means that you have opportunities to do that, which is a wonderful gift as well. So talking about opportunities, you know, I was thinking today as I was listening to President Obama and he was talking, you know, it reminded me of about the purpose for the foundation, the founding, I should say, of this country. And basically the purpose of this country was to, for people who were running or leaving Europe to escape prosecution because of their religious beliefs, mostly. But there are so many other reasons that people left their countries as well. So just briefly touch upon that because I want to get more involved into the spiritual aspect of this. Do you have anything to add on that, Charlie, or should I just continue?
Well, from the ancestral point, you know, from my family, I believe that they came, and I haven't done the genealogy study yet. But I think they came in the later part of the 1800s, and I think the ones that came from Ireland, the potato famine happened before that, so they came for, you know, economic reasons as well, and you know, some of them were miners and they settled in Pennsylvania in coal mines, but they didn't stay there long, and they moved on to Baltimore, and you know, then they had other opportunities, and then World War II came, and my father and his 10 brothers learned lots of things. Well, actually, it wasn't 10 brothers, it was 6 brothers in World War II. So they learned from the military, and we had, I'm one of the, I think just about the only one in, you know, my particular eight, well, there was, excuse me, a second cousin that went into the service during Vietnam. I think he was drafted, and, you know, I was enlisted, so it's, you follow a lot of things, you know, ancestrally sometimes before you break out of the mold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's a little bit about, you know, my family and their, that I know, and there's a lot more to uncover.
Yeah, there's still a lot that we don't know. It was amazing because I did a little bit of research for a healing session I had, which required the knowledge of your ancestry, and it required you to, you know, kind of go back into your, not just your parents, your grandparents, but beyond, way beyond that, as much as far back as you can on both sides of the family, and your father's side and your mother's side. And I have to tell you, it was a chore. One, because there's a lot of issues that need to be healed, one. And two, because a lot of times, you don't know that much about your ancestors as you wish you knew. So it's very challenging. But yeah, like what I found it very interesting, and it brought me back to the purpose this country was founded, and for the freedom of expression and the freedom of religion, and obviously the freedom of speech, and the Constitution was drafted to basically outline the rules and regulations that govern this country, that is the U.S., the United States of America. And it brought me back to what I studied in school, because I studied part of my, you know, I went back and forth between Europe and my home country, Spain, and the U.S. several times. So it brought me back to some of the things I learned in both countries about the history of the United States as well, its association with Europe. What draws me, my attention especially, though, is that, you know, there are so many people immigrating to the United States from so many different parts of the world. And it's called a melting pot, as we well know, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And because it's called a melting pot, I found it interesting that how does all of this associate to what we, you know, what we understand to be the transformation that's going to be taking place in the next few years to be ascending into the fifth dimension. And finally, you know, through spirit, it came to, I came to understand a little bit about the picture. But before I go into the picture, I want to regress a little bit to the fact that the purpose of this country was and is intended for people to manifest their dreams. And the dream of humanity is to go back to the origins of the divinity it came from. And it's intended the United States plays such a key part in that transition, in that ascension process. And it's kind of like a combination of all the cultures into one, because I feel it's no longer true that any religion, any nation, any political system has the exclusive of salvation or ascension. But that we are all guided and called to that process. Do you feel that too as well, Charlie?
Yes, and you know the new wave of Americans, which are immigrants, just like, as you know, my family members were a century or more ago. I like to welcome them and make them folks feel welcome, because you know, I won't be here forever, and you know, I consider them to be my release shift, as we used to call it in the Navy. And,
mm-hmm.
They have a lot to teach us, you know, about gratitude and hard work and a whole list of the things that our ancestors, you know, basically came here with and the same experience, and it's now repeating itself again, you know, generation by generation.
Yeah. It's interesting, we kind of come all here to, you know, the purpose of immigrating is to accomplish our dreams. But part of the our accomplishment of our dreams is the process of change. Because we think that we change by moving somewhere, we're changing our circumstances. In reality, what we're doing is we're changing ourselves, which changes our circumstances. Right, Charlie?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So I'm finding it very interesting. I wanted to briefly just touch on, again, because it's such an important day, I wanted to also touch a little bit on Martin Luther King and the fact that today is a great day for remembering what things, you know, what he basically preached, what he taught and what he believed, which was the equality between all races, right? And the fact that he fought for his beliefs. So I'm trying to understand also where the direction we're going in. It concerns me because we're living in such a time of great advancement scientifically. And yet it seems like we've almost reached the limits of science. Our governments have reached its limitations, and we as a humanity are reaching the limitations of our politics and our scientific development, because we are to give way to a new understanding. And one of the other things that I remember from and I think this was the key statement that really caught my attention, was that the purpose of the presidency and the purpose when they swear in is to defend, serve and defend the Constitution of the United States, and through the Constitution, the people of the United States, which is everyone here. as a naturalized citizen, I had to actually study a little bit about that for my naturalization. Of course, you didn't have to go through that, Charlie, so you probably don't have any idea what that process is like, do you?
No, it's just American history.
It's American history. I also remember when my mom became naturalized, which was a few years ago. And it was just, it seems that she created some kind of commotion in her swearing in when she was made a citizen, because she started to sing the, America the Beautiful. And of course, she didn't remember the words very well because English is not her first language and she doesn't speak it very well, but I thought it was interesting because they also sang that today, obviously. And but it was it caused commotion because everybody started laughing because they saw her English was very limited, but she wanted to show the desire and her dream of having become a citizeness being a joyous, fulfilling opportunity for her. And I think that got across to everybody else when she started singing in her little, version of the America the Beautiful. So just thinking about that. And without meaning to change this into a negative, because that's not the purpose. I mean, sometimes we perceive things as being negative when in reality they're not. But I wanted to basically give a quote from Abraham Lincoln, because he was also a great proponent of our rights, and he was obviously the first president to support, along with Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr., to promote the equality of the masses. And he says something very interesting. Any people, anywhere, being inclined and having the power, have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form anew, a new one that suits them better. This is a most valuable, a most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. And basically, this is, in a way, it summarizes a little bit what, to bring into mind the power that we have through the voting, the election process of the presidency. How we talked about how we have the ability to create our dreams. Well, I know things right now are not great because there are a lot of people losing jobs. A friend of mine was just telling me that even though she works for the government, they're going to be reducing her hours. So, she's going to have to be looking for a second job. So the economic crisis, financial crisis we're going through is affecting all of us, obviously. It's affecting our ability. Sales this year, Christmas, Charlie, I'm sure you've heard, have been much lower than many other years. People are not buying as much. Is that correct? Have you heard anything to that effect?
I haven't heard the numbers, for this year, but usually when people are, and there's a lot of people unemployed, there would be consumers have had to modify their plans and get just what they need as opposed to reacting to the all the advertisements of what we need in order to be complete or happy.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. I don't know the numbers either, and I'm not sure that the numbers are really that important or that necessary to be exact in the numbers. It's just the fact that there are many people out there who are suffering the consequences of our economy, and it's just not in the United States. It's a worldwide situation. But going back to the concept that we have the ability to create our dreams, not just in the United States, but anywhere in the world, we have the power, we have the energy, we have the divine essence of creation within us. We are created in the image of God. We are divine beings able to be co-creators in our reality. And therefore, we have the power to change our world. And within our world, the country that we live in. And the environment we work in the families we are in relationship with, our friends. We have that ability because once we change ourselves, and Byron Katie, I love, you're familiar with Byron Katie, is that correct, Charlie?
Yes, I am. I haven't read any of her works, but which is, you know, the title of one of her books, basically. That's on my list of things to do eventually. Learn a little more about, you know, how you do the work, as she puts it.
Yes. And one of her phrases, which sticks with me always, is, if you change, the world has no choice but to change with you, because the world reflects who we are. If we're in turmoil, the world around us becomes turmoil. And there are people out there whose world is so peaceful, so balanced. You've noticed that in incredible people, like you have saints, you have gurus, you have master teachers, who their world is full of complete balance. And you say, wow, that's because their world, their interior world is balanced, and they reflect that. So you kind of say, wow, I wish I could be like that. And that's how we start growing and becoming aware. We want to imitate the people who we think have what we need. And she says, again, I love this phrase because I just think it's so powerful. If you change, the world has no choice. Again, no choice but to change with you. And it's so powerful because she also mentions the fact that it is the power of one who changes, because you change the individual, you change yourself. And then by changing yourself, you're not reflecting that chaos that you had originally. It once you reach a state of balance, and you create the world that you want. And that is important for us to understand the power that we have, that we so easily forget about, and so easily don't use. And it's the most powerful resource, the most powerful tool humanity has, as I mentioned in my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. So again, this is showing us how powerful as beings we have the ability to change ourselves, and through the change of the self, how we can change the world. And I think the elections are a great opportunity for us to change the world through the elections of the government, the officials, even the people we choose to buy our products from are a choice for us. People are paying more attention, and we're trying to go more green, to watch over more about our environment. But I love this sentence because any people, anywhere, being inclined and having the power, again, the word power, have the right to rise up. And we have an obligation to change ourselves. And through our change, changing the world around us, we have an obligation to do what's best for us, for ourselves, and for others. And shake off the existing government, or the existing ruling organization, whatever that may be, and for a new and form a new one that suits them better. If this government is not working for us, this is a most valuable, a most sacred right, a right which we hope and believe is to liberate the world. So Abraham Lincoln was talking about that, and I just thought it was a very powerful statement because of the fact that it goes hand in hand with what's going on today. All right. So any comment about that, Charlie, or should we just continue? What do you?
Well, there's been many great teachers that have encouraged us to, quite simply, be the change we wish to see, which was attributed to Gandhi, and how one person with can start a whole movement. And now with the the internet, and you know, we participate, you know, personally I do, on many petitions that come my way through the internet for different organizations that are, might be human rights, they might be, you know, related to the you know, the ecology, the green movement, collective voices, you know, coming together, you know, can make change, you know, in the world. They can make change in the, you know, for our elected officials when they see, you know, our response. So there's been lots of good things, you know, come about that enable us to band together and use that, you know, collective, you know, force of intention and to get things done.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. One of the other things, one of the other quotes that I also love very much from, is probably one of my favorites. I have several favorites, quotes from Abraham Lincoln and other people as well, but these are relevant to the topic of today. I love this one, which says, "A government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." And this is kind of part of also the Constitution of the United States. Basically, it's talking about a government that is intended to protect, you know, the people of the United States, not just to govern them, but it is for the people and by the people. In other words, the people have the right to decide. They have the right to make the choice because they are the people who are being governed. And so I just love that one because I think it's just so powerful. It's amazing. And there's another one. "My dream is a place and a time where America will once again be seen as the last best hope of Earth." So again, it kind of reminds me what I was saying a little bit earlier, that the United States is supposed to be a place, a key participant in the transformation of our planet into the ascension, into the transformation of a new world where we will live in the fifth dimension and where things will become, you know, things that we now, you know, what we understand the world to be today will become a little bit more obsolete, and we'll live in a world where heaven on earth is the reality that exists, and that kind of shows it. So anyway, I hope that helps. Let's see. Are there any quotes that you'd like to share that come to mind, Charlie? Not obligated. I happen to have these here with me, but
did you make a copy of Dr. King's "I Have a Dream" speech? That's always been inspirational to me, and quote it verbatim, you know, does not come to mind, but it's been very powerful. And I have you know, many friends, you know, from all over the world now that have come to America, and I think that's, you know, something that, you know, is very meaningful to them as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that again brings the into play the concept that we were talking about the United States being a place of dreams, and his dream was, and he discusses that in great detail. I don't know that speech. I've heard it on television several times, but of course you hear part of it. You don't really hear the whole thing. But what I've heard is extremely, extremely beautiful. So definitely is something that to focus on as well.
I think the people that are listening and you know, just putting out the intent that you know, they remember, you know, what that speech was about, and you know, on this day that's, you know, in remembrance of him as a federal holiday, and you know, the intention will go out, you know, regardless of, you know, how much we remember the speech, you know, verbatim.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Whatever.
Well, I like this one. I have to say to the audience, I'm cheating a little bit. I'm going online and looking at some quotes from, that's how I got my quotes. The ones that I have in the book, I also got online, but I find an incredible resource online. And this one just popped up as the first quote, and it's just really beautiful. It says, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." And that's so powerful because this is the awareness that we have to connect with. We are beings of light, and our only way to move forward are we have no choice but to move forward is what I would say. And in order to move forward, we are guided towards our divinity, which is the light, the essence of God within us that that has created us. We are the sparks of divine light. And only while we are kind of in the fourth dimension, we are locked a little bit into the darkness, but we're not completely in the dark. We have the ability through meditation, through prayer, through spirituality to connect with that light. And that's a beautiful quote, I think. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Oh, and this one is the one that you were probably talking about the dream. "I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Now, that is extremely powerful.
Yes, indeed.
And not only I think it applies to the individual, but it also applies to the city, to the job environment where we work, the people we interact with, and most of all, our country needs to remember these things. Because as a powerful country, which the United States is, it has the responsibility. The more power you have, the more responsibility you have as such to be an example and to, you know, show its character by its action. It's and it needs to reflect that. And because it's such a key component, it has to move towards the lack of discrimination, lack of judgment that we as individuals feel. It's really interesting. I don't know if this, I will share a little bit of an experience, and then Charlie, please share it also yourself. But for me, when I surrendered my will to God, which was, I don't know, some 30 years ago, and I surrendered my will to God. However, I have to tell you, one thing is surrendering it in words, and the other is applying it on a daily basis. I find that there's such a resistance, and sometimes it's so subtle that you don't even realize that you're resisting the surrender. Sometimes you think, oh, by surrendering, it just means, you know, being a good person, praying, and so forth. However, it also means not judging others. It means not reaching conclusions. It's understanding that we don't have the big picture and that we don't understand other people as in the same way that God does. So because we don't have the full picture, I have to keep reminding myself that it's not for me to judge or conclude or discriminate or, you know, think a person is less or greater than because of certain behaviors. That I find is I struggle with and I'm trying to improve on regularly. Do you find that you have a challenge as well through your spirituality, Charlie?
Well, challenges are always there. We might not think that we have any more challenges left, but when we get to that point, quite often something comes up and, you know, makes us, you know, aware that, you know, that's something that, you know, we have to work on. There are programs out there that, you know, they make a, you know, list of all the things that you need to make amends to, and make amends to the people and the organizations possibly that you've offended, in order to make things right again. And if you go a little farther in those particular programs, then they'll say turn your will over to a higher power to assist you. When what you can do yourself is just not enough.
Yeah.
Participating in programs like that over the years, and I find that they're a very simple spiritual based program. But, when you look at the very basics of things, they're really not too involved. What we have to do, just have to take the inventory and see where we're up to snuff, and those things that we're still behind on, and we can work on this.
Yes. Yeah. And talking about that, I'll say this quote. I have a couple more quotes, and I think that will be all for today and quote-wise, and we'll just continue talking. But these are two additional quotes that I thought were very powerful. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in a moment of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. And we are standing right now in moments of controversy. We are, and I'll go into the controversy by talking about one of his quotes. Our scientific power has outrun our spiritual power. That is extremely powerful. We have guided missiles and misguided men. And then I love this one too, because they're all related. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom. And we are approaching spiritual doom. This is a moment of chaos. And as I have indicated in my book, and as I have been taken and shown images of our outcome, and not to toot my own horn, because this is not about me. These are messages from God. These are revelations that were provided me. So it's not to my honor. These are to the honor of the highest authority that wants to share and provide insight to those who are seeking that insight. And we are going to be going through some major, major problems. If for more details, there are many books out there. Of course, you're welcome to also buy mine, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, The Real Secret of the End of Times, Ascension to the Fifth Dimension. But in what is interesting about these people like Abraham Lincoln and people like Martin Luther King, is that they're able to see this picture. They're able to already see at their time. And think about, these people have already passed, and they're able to see already, because God is giving us direction and guidance throughout all of human time. Because for God, there is no limitation time or space wise. So he's giving us insight all the time as to what is going on and what we're doing wrong. And not only that, but he's providing direction for those who want it, those who are searching for it, those who seek his guidance. And he's providing that direction. And I have to read this quote again. It's just calling out to me. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual doom. But you know what? That's okay, because the spiritual doom is going to be very temporary, and the outcome will be awesome. And that's why Abraham Lincoln says that in the end, he says again, my dream is of a place and a time where America will once again be seen as the best hope of Earth. And that will come to be. The United States will again be an incredible, powerful, most of all spiritual, and awakened and aware community, a world where a people will have where heaven on earth will manifest. And then I'd like to end with this quote from Martin Luther King, says, I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great of a burden to bear. That's also very powerful.
Yes, it is.
Anything to add on or comment on these quotes, Charlie? Because I've been doing most of the talking, so I'm sure that people would love to hear from you.
There are so many, you know, meaningful quotes out there, and they serve to, you know, inspire us. At least they do for me. And friends send me quotes that are, you know, special to them. And you know, there's so many. Actually, you know, at one point in time, I received, you know, a quote of the day, you know, from a particular service until I got to. You know, things changed, and you know, I moved on to, you know, other sources because I could always, you know, recall them, you know, through the internet and also, you know, through the printed, you know, material.
Yeah, I love printed material, and but I find the resources online to be so helpful, and so there's just so much stuff. We live in such a powerful time. We live in the age of information and technology, which allows an individual like myself or you or somebody else to reach out and touch the world, literally, because we could only do this before only important companies could reach out through television or radio. But now we have all of us can reach out to the world and connect with people of like mind. And that's the whole purpose of this show, to connect with us. I like to touch a little bit on the fact that we are in a time of transformation. And I feel that we're reaching the end of our scientific discoveries, at least from the perspective where spirituality or spirit or the other side, the real world, you know, is not involved. I think we're looking at a transformation at all levels. And I find it extremely moving to know and understand that we are living in a time of such, what's the word I'm looking for, of such impact in the way the world is going to be changing. I think it's an incredible time to be alive, although a little bit scary too, because, you know, we're going down a road that is not very clear to us. And although it may be very chaotic, I do want to point out that as long as we can maintain ourselves in prayer, and as long as we can connect with ourselves, and I'm talking about our true selves, not the self that is conditioned by the environment, not the self that is conditioned by society, by television, you know, not the self that's conditioned by money, but the self that is truly connected to the divine essence that we are. We need to connect with that. And as we do that, we can overcome the challenges and we can maintain the balance around us. It's not the first time that the world has been at war. It's not the first time that that we're going through changes. You were in the military, Charlie. Did you, hopefully you didn't have to participate in any of the wars of the time, or did you?
Well, not in the physical sense. In the 70s, it was Vietnam was winding down, and it was still the Cold War, where each side, you know, built up fleets of submarines that carried missiles, which was part of what I worked on, not on the submarine, but, you know, for the submarine crews. And there was also, you know, that was the Navy part of it, and then the Air Force had theirs, and the Army had theirs, and so on and so forth. So, that still continues on today, but not quite, you know, the intensity, since the Soviet Union has, you know, had their big change. And,
yeah.
But now we have other countries that, you know, feel that, you know, they will be more protected, you know, if they possibly have a nuclear program, and we don't agree with such things anymore, and there's numerous, you know, peace-related organizations out there that would lobby the representatives to cut down on the arsenals of weapons. And I agree with that. I was a volunteer back then, my views of armed conflict have changed dramatically. I don't think that we can change people by overpowering them with weapons. I believe that we can change them by overpowering them with humanitarian aid putting empowering the people so that they can take care of themselves.
Right. And that's interesting because I was just asked by Spirit to scroll down on the quotes, and I love the way these quotes are done because they're like framed and they're all over the place and they're in like little columns and rows. So I found two more quotes that I do have to, and then I'll throw a little bit of a twist in the mix here to get our listeners thinking for the week. Every man, based on what you just said, Charlie, this goes really well with what you just said. Every man must decide whether he will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. The second one is, nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and consensuous stupidity. This one is funny, but at the same time, it's pretty sad. Nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and consensuous stupidity. I'm having a problem talking today. So what I'm trying to summarize with these two quotes is, yes, we are living in a moment of great chaos. We're living in a moment where violence is becoming more and more part of the norm, where violence on television is exalted because we rush to the theaters. And I'm guilty as anybody. I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody. I'm trying to point out the facts of our sometimes misconceived behavior or misunderstood behavior of violence. I mean, President Obama was complaining, and he's trying to pass laws to control gun. I would not go out and rush to buy a gun. On the other hand, I don't believe banning guns will solve the problem. The problem really lies in the continuous and consistent exposure to violence. And I think that's really what's moving everything forward. And because we have to understand our stupidity and behavior, and without us consciously realizing, we are being co-participants in this violence by, being drawn to the theaters because what sells, the directors and producers are going to make more of. So we have to be more conscious. Knowing and aware of what our behavior is creating in the world. Also, one of the things that's important, and I was touching upon with through the meditation and the need for continuous awareness, is that we do have to grow in love, and we have to make aware and understood choice that we have to make better choices to transform a world. Again, the change begins within, but we have to bring that choice. We have to make that change without as well. Only through understanding within can we really make it fruitful and purposeful in the real world. I also wanted to say, and this is something you guys might want to think about, you can definitely find the information online because I heard about this and it totally blew my mind. This again draws our attention to the misconceptions and misunderstandings and the stupidity and ignorance that we have in our world, and what we're educated also in ignorance in that stupidity. We were under the understanding that President Obama is the first black president. Well, There actually have been 17 presidents before President Washington, and several of these presidents were black presidents. Now, George Washington was the first president under the Constitution, but before the Constitution was established and written up, there were other presidents before that. And you kind of wonder why you don't learn that in history. Because today is president or, you know, the inauguration of the presidency, I'm leaving you guys with a bit of thought and to help you focus as I do also myself and to focus on the ignorance that we're submitted to. And, you know, these are silly things. So how much more ignorance, how much more stupidity, and how more conscientiously are we going to allow ourselves to be ignorant and not awaken to the truth? Because the truth will be revealed to you if you take the time. Not necessarily just outside of yourself, but within, you will find much more truth and less misinformation. All right? So I want to leave you with that thought. Charlie, is there anything you'd like to add before we say goodbye to our listeners?
I think that in order to verify, you know, one's, you know, direction, it's always good to, you know, quiet the mind and, you know, just ask, you know, to connect with your higher self, your angels, you know, whatever you would like to call, and, you know, listen for that, you know, still voice inside for the answers to your questions that will, you know, guide you down the path that you're taking, you know, and your lifetime.
Thank you. Very wise words. And sometimes even the most spiritual person, we forget to do that at times. So thank you for reminding us. I want to wish you all a wonderful 2 weeks that follow. And I'd like to invite you back on February 4th to talk to Kiana. Remember, you do have the capability to ask questions. So have a blessed rest of the month and a new month coming up.
Thank you.